Good morning and welcome to everyone present here. And we also have people joining us online. So I would like to welcome all of those who are with us online and feel that you are in Madhuban right now. And so today is our first session for this group. And not sure how many of you know the theme for this season's. So the theme for this season is the power of togetherness through connection with the seed. And it's a beautiful topic. It's because of Baba we all together. So it's our connection with the Baba, and that's why we got this family. And so today we have with us Sister Sonia. Sister Sonia is the national coordinator of Brahma Kumaris in Denmark. She's also the coordinator of Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative Activities. And she has been with Baba from past 36 years. So it's been quite a while with Baba and very experienced soul. And the quality that I have noticed in Sister Sonia is she's very incognito, very subtle and very humble. So we're very fortunate to have her with us. And the topic for today is the 5 keys to sustainable happiness. So I would like to hand over to Sister Sonia. Om Shanti.
Thank you. Om Shanti. And nice to meet you all. And also welcome to those watching online. And I see that the Vietnamese group has come, right? You feel me? Ah, you have a very special place in my heart, and I will tell you why. Because we started the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative 2009, and in December 2009 was this big climate change conference in Copenhagen. And it was a new adventure for all of us, new topic, new team, big UN conference. And it all went very well, but it took me about half a year afterwards to sort of rest and get back on my feet. And then I thought, Baba, I want to go somewhere, you know, where I want to go. And I always had a dream to go to Vietnam. So in August 2010, I went to Vietnam. And to Ho Chi Minh and to Hanoi. And you put on all these environment programs in the university and radio and TV and whatnot. And you know, I had just organized an environment conference. I didn't know very much. I was so nervous for these programs. My goodness. But I think it went pretty well, all of it. And that was the start of all these lectures and talks and everything on sustainability. And you just have a very big, warm place in my heart. So it's nice to see you here. And all the others also, of course. And I remember my scooter ride in Hanoi and eating these nice wraps with sitting on the floor. And one sister, she peeled this big orange pomelo. She took half an hour to peel it in 3 layers. With total dedication. It was like a meditation to watch. Amazing. Anyhow, I'm leaving today, so I've been here for 3 weeks. So it's also special to meet you because it's your first or second day, so it's like a handover of season. And the reason why I chose this topic is that have you heard about the World Happiness Index? I'll show you here. Here, you see the big screen is not working because of Diwali decoration, so we only have the small screens. So if anyone wants to move so you can see better, you're welcome. But there is something called World Happiness Index. So every year they make a list over the happiest countries in the world. Have you heard about it? Yeah, and the Scandinavian countries have the last 5-6 years done top ranking, even Sweden, Finland, Iceland, Norway. And many people ask me, are you from the happiest country in the world? You know, I'm Swedish by birth, but I live in Denmark. And I said, yes, but you know, when you live there, it's like any other country, I assume. People are a bit lonely, a bit anxiety, depression, the winters are cold and very long and very dark. So you wonder, oh, okay, how come our country are the happiest? Because when I go to Asia, for example, I see so much more smiles. But of course, in this index, they use many logic or parameters from society. They measure unemployment, social security, standard of living in the houses, and how you look after the older, the hospital care and everything. And in these ratings, yes, of course, Scandinavia is a welfare state and not so many people. We are very few people. Sweden is a huge country with just 10 million people, so it's a lot of space. So regarding that, yes, we come very high. But then I thought, okay, we are all BKs and we know that happiness comes from the inside. Happiness has got nothing to do, well, it does to some extent. We need housing and food, but when the basic needs are covered, happiness is from the inside. And I'm a nurse, I've been working as a nurse for so many years, and I know in the doctor's clinic that some people, they complain a lot for small things, but after, behind that facade of complaining for everything, they are quite okay. And there are some patients who are really seriously ill, but they never say anything, they keep a happy face, and if you ask a little bit, it's quite actually bad what's going on. So I have many years of practice that what's happening on the outside might not always correspond with what is happening on the inside. But today I wanted to give a little sustainable environment hinge to happiness. So here is a definition of what sustainability means. This is an official definition of sustainability, and maybe, I don't know if the translators can read it, but I read it here. Sustainability means meeting our own needs without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So sustainability, environmentally friendly, means something that's long-lasting. And you can also say it's the way the gardener looks after his flowers. And a gardener would not only think of this season, right? He's always thinking of next season and next season. So a gardener would have a long-term plan for his garden. So this is what environmentally friendly means. You think long-term, so you don't only live for the moment, but you live for next moment. And for us, we live for next world also, isn't it? For golden age, we have very long-term thinking. And here is another way you can say sustainability also means the way parents look after their children. Because you would think long-term when you look after children, isn't it? You start already when they're young to think about education and make some planning for when the children grow up. So I was thinking, what is my own five small keys for long-term happiness? And I do meditation, and Amrit Vela, morning class, Murli, evening meditation, like all of you. And that is the basis for our happiness, is our relationship to Baba, to Dharma, to the family, to knowledge. But apart from that, what are the small things that makes my life happy? So I will share them with you today. But my Oh, here is a little animal who wants to be part of the program. But my question to you, and I would like you to reflect on that when I share my five keys, what are your five keys for long-term happiness? This is only my personal. What is it you can do? And I hope, let's see if we have time, I will ask you at the end of the program maybe to share some of your keys. So let's see how it goes. So what are your five keys to happiness? So my first key, apart from a BK life with its adventures, I would say it's time in nature. And that became apparent during the pandemic for many people. We couldn't travel and we couldn't go to so many places. And there was restrictions everywhere. So people started to go in nature and in the parks. Was it the same in your places? Yeah? When the lockdown was there, you spend more time in the parks or outside in nature? Some people are nodding their heads. You see, in Scandinavia, we have so much nature and so much forest. They made a survey of the Danish population of what things had changed during the pandemic in their habits. And number one was, for the future, they will continue to spend more time in nature. Second was the appreciation and the value of family, meeting family and friends. And number three was the appreciation of the ability to work at home. But what happens when you're in nature? For myself, I put that I can be just relaxed, be myself and talk to the trees. They are very good listeners. I relax. Peace in nature is very natural. It's a natural thing. And we can also be together outside. But nature can have this sense of wonder. Do you know, sometimes you look up on the clouds and there is a special formation. And you see an animal or you see something in the clouds and you say, wow. Or you see an animal or there is a special flower, it's a special plant. Or maybe you put the foot in the river or something and this sense of wonder comes. And these small senses of wonder, they are very nourishing for your spirit. And I collect small moments of happiness during the day. So especially when I come back from India, I turn on the water tap in Denmark and I can drink the water from the tap. That's a small moment of happiness for me. And when I travel and my luggage turn up on the belt, oh, that's a small moment of happiness. But And here in Madhuban, you see all the many birds. It's a kind of little moment of happiness, isn't it, when the bird look at you. And if you collect all these small moments of happiness, you have many of them in one day. And they are very nourishing. And I just wanted to share one story, because a friend of mine in Denmark, they have a grandchild that lives in Singapore. And he was 5 years old first time he came to Denmark. And he came to their summer house. And they have a lawn. They have a big grass lawn. And it was the first time this boy had ever walked barefoot on grass. And they could see his expression and his sense of wonder of the feeling of having grass under your feet. And they never forget his happiness and his sense of wonder of walking barefoot on grass. So I was thinking of this, and one time we did an echo workshop in Oxford Retreat Center. And I was having the afternoon session, And it had been raining a little bit, so it was a bit wet outside. And I thought, okay, I'll try. So there was 30 senior BKs from Europe, very serious. I asked them to take their shoes off and their socks off and walk barefoot in the grass. And they were a bit hesitant at first. But we did it. We did a walking meditation outside in silence in the grass. And they just loved it. And some said it's 30 years ago they walked barefoot in the grass. And this was the moment I remembered in the retreat the most. This is what's connected for me with nature, is to be in the moment and appreciate your moment in the you're in, and to collect moments of sense of wonder. And I just want to share with you that there is now a diagnosis in psychology which is called nature deficit disorder. And it means that if the children don't spend time in nature as kids, they can develop psychological problems as adults. So if you don't play outside, climb the trees, you know, all these things that kids do outside in nature when they're small, it's a serious problem. And today I also read an article that the eyesight of young people is just totally destroyed because of too much time behind the screen. So I think about 75 to 90% of the younger generation today will need glasses as teenagers. Yeah, on the global level. So my question to you now is, can you have a sense of wonder every day, even in the cities? Can you collect moments of happiness? So just let's stop together for a moment, and maybe you just close your eyes and think, what sense of wonder have I had today since you woke up, whatever time it was? Amrit Vela, Baba's room here in Gyansarovar is crowded from 2 o'clock. So just close your eyes and think of a few moments of wonder today. Okay. How many of you have had a sense of wonder moment today? Okay, a bit more than half, maybe. Yeah. Is it going too fast for the translation, or it's okay? It's okay, yeah. My little sense of wonder this morning was I wanted to sleep longer, and then there was this grasshopper and she was making so much noise that I couldn't sleep, even though I wanted to. So I said thanks to the grasshopper. Second key for me is contentment. And that is very much connected to sustainable living. And here is our famous peace triangle. So you start with contentment, and that leads to simplicity. And when you have simplicity in life, you are peaceful. And when you are peaceful, you become even more content. And contentment It's a big topic when we go to climate change conference, when we discuss eco-friendly living, because the consumption in today's world is just too high. The welfare states need to cut consumption by 50-70% within 8 years, the climate scientists say. It means 50% less clothes, 50% less travel, 50% less fuel, less electricity, maybe less food, maybe less of everything. 50% is quite a lot. But we also know that today, if I feel a little bit empty on the inside, it's a tendency to go shopping for many people. We might sit down and talk to Baba and do meditation if we feel that emptiness. But if you don't have that option, many people go shopping. They buy some new clothes or buy some this, that. And if you're very rich, maybe you buy a new car or update your model of the phone or whatever. And the happiness of these things, we all know that it's very short-lived. Maybe a day or two, and then you need something else to cover up the emptiness inside. But with spirituality, with meditation, we get the inner contentment. So my need for shopping and entertainment and all these very fancy things that pollute the world so much, all these gadgets, they become much less. And then I have simplicity in life. I'm happy with less. And then peace comes. You know, at the moment, in Copenhagen, in Denmark, I work in the prison service. It's a Lokik job as a meditation teacher. And it's a small part-time job. So I have a kind of small income, and the prisoners, they are very interested in money. Most people in prison would be there for money in one way or another. I tell them how much I earn, and they say it's not possible. Yeah, it's possible, I said. And then they start talking, no, she's lying, it's not possible. And then sometimes they say, I heard that there are people like her who can be happy without money. I've heard about it. And then we have a long discussion about this. And he's so interested how deep it is ingrained in society that in order to be happy you need money. It's so deep. And of course we need some basic income, and you can't talk about simplicity with people who don't have money enough for food or for shelter or whatever. That's very clear. But the opposite would be that if I'm discontent, I actually have complications rather than simplicity. Because all these things I buy, they break. And I need to update it, and you need to store it, and you need to sort it. It's lots of complication to own many things today. Insurance this, insurance that. And it's break, you need to send it back, it comes back, and then you can't get to repair things. So discontentment leads to complication, and complication leads to stress. And stress leads to more discontentment. So that's an opposite triangle. And today I buy second-hand clothes. I didn't used to do before because I thought someone else has used it and the vibrations and everything. But I've tried now a few times. So if I need something, I go to the flea market. And that's quite a lot of happiness. You meet very interesting people on a flea market. And actually you can simplify your needs a lot. And that's better for health also. Health benefits from simple, easy food, for example. And here are some of my favorite slogans regarding simplicity, that simple is beautiful. and less is more. How come less is more? What do we mean with that? Some people say that if they buy food without chemicals and they cook it in Baba's remembrance with a lot of love, you need to eat less. And it fills your being. And today, for example, if you not have attention on what you eat and you're reading the newspaper, doing something else, you need to eat more. Because attention is going somewhere else. So have a think about it today, what it actually means, less is more. Today, in today's design, you know, they leave a lot of space. In old times, you used to use every single little piece of paper for some text. Today, you have very little text and a lot of space. And people will actually read it if there is space. If you have less furniture in your room, you can have more people and more friends. You see, there are many interesting ways, right? But my question to you now is that, can you declutter your house, your life, your mind, and train your eyes to see beauty in simplicity? So let's take a moment to reflect. Where in your life do you need to simplify things? You can just close your eyes and relax a bit. Where in my life or in my mind or in my habits do I need to declutter or simplify things? Okay, thank you. And number three key for myself now is love and compassion. And you can maybe say the simplest thing of everything is that it's love, isn't it? That's what makes the cycle go around. That's what drives our life. And when there is no negativity, blame, anything left, it's only love left. And I think we all experienced that with the daddies. There's only love left. But there is a saying here from Rumi, the Iranian poet. Easy love, easy to understand the words when others speak, but when you understand others' silence, you have understood love. It's beautiful, isn't it? Do you have people, friends, you can be silent together with? Yeah, it's a very beautiful experience. Silent love. That's also meditation, isn't it? Well, I mentioned a few slogans here. To cultivate friendship, when you have a vision of love, our vision expands. You see, when we started the Environment Initiative, we asked the UN office, Baba's UN office in New York, to write the first kind of article or statement on the connection between consciousness and climate change. And it's there on our website if you want to read it. It's a very beautiful piece. It's called Consciousness and Climate Change. And it writes very clearly and beautifully there that everything that has got to do with environment, it's long lasting. It is for the future. It is not here and now. It is long term. I need to see not only next year, but a few years ahead. For example, now the effects we experience in today's world in the weather, it's not the result of the emissions, the pollution yesterday. It's from like 10, 20 years ago. The effects of the pollution 10, 20 years ago comes today. And in order to expand your vision, you need to come from a position of love. Because when I'm based in love, my heart opens, my energy opens, and I can include all of you also in my vision. And we have had this experience in meditation, we can include the whole world. But when I feel the opposite, if I'm very insecure, if I'm very afraid, I become very self-conscious. Like my energy sort of closes in and it's all about me. My aura is around me here, not in the whole room. So when I'm fear-based, it's impossible to think long-term and to think ahead. It's all about here and now. It is about me and my survival. And maybe if two more people met, not the whole world. And if you look at today's politicians, they are very afraid of next election results and if they're going to be elected or not. So they think in terms of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But when it comes to long-lasting happiness and environment, that's very short-term. And we need, Baba asks us every day, you know, expand your vision to include the whole cycle and next life and golden age. And in order to do that, we need to be based in love. And do you know who is the most difficult person to love? Yes, it's yourself. And actually, in our spiritual life, negative self-talk is absolutely forbidden, isn't it? There is no argument. There is no reasoning. There is no condition where you can say negative self-talk is beneficial. It's always destructive. It's always destroy my own state. So we just have to stop it. From today on, you should not have a single negative thought about yourself. Why? We have to become good friends on ourselves. You see, in the doctor's clinic, there are many parents who come with their kids and they tell many stories and you hear many parents and you see if you have a breakfast, a family, two kids and two parents have breakfast and then the kid maybe tips the glass of water or milk over and it spills on the table. And if the parents tell them off and become angry on them, the child becomes upset and insecure and the tendency to spill something else on the table will increase by 100%. So it is just not logical. It would be better to calm down and be sweet and everything make the child secure and then he will not spill another time. And it is the same with ourselves. Every time we make a mistake or we maybe go a little bit are disaligned to the truth or to love or to purity, whatever happens in our mind, in our communication, in relationship, if I become angry on myself, it just doesn't help. Actually, after I've been to Vietnam, I decided I would never think I would, after I would become very kind to myself. So every time I did a mistake or said something that was not right, or any time I did that or the other, I went to my favorite meditation space and I said, "Sweet Sonia." And I said it, I meditated on "Sweet Sonia" until the bad feeling was gone. And I wouldn't leave this meditation space unless I had cleared the negativity by being kind to myself. And it's working very well. And it's something I wish would have done different in my BK life, would have been starting earlier on this. And then I started a system. If I had a negative thought about myself, I would find myself, put money in a box. And then when the box was full, I would do something really nice. So you have to find tricks. But you know, negativity is very subtle. I met a sister here in Madhuban. She said, "Oh, I wish I could stay longer." It's also a negative thought, isn't it? Because she's not going to stay longer. It's not going to happen. And you have to embrace what there is. And says, "Okay, whatever time I have in Madhuban, it's good for me. And I will make the best of it." Can you feel the different feeling inside? "Oh, I wish I could stay longer." Or, "I have the time I need." And we decided to go for a long walk and have a long chit-chat. And it never happened. She said, "Oh, we never had a long conversation." And that's also a negative thought, isn't it? If you think about it. And I said, "No, but we had a short one. It was very nice." You see? Okay, so instead of thinking we never had a long conversation, you can think, "Okay, I'm happy we did have time to connect." You see, this negativity creeps in so easily. In all ways. And I spent years of tidying up in my mind about this. So that's a big key, isn't it? And next here, I just wanted to share with you, there is an old saying in the Native American tradition that if there were no animals on the planet, then human beings would feel very lonely. Do you think that's true? Yes. You remember they say that when Brahma Baba left the bodies, the birds were silent that day. There were no chirping like this in Pandavabhavan. So I'd like to ask you to close your eyes for a second and just lean back and imagine how is it to be me if there is no worry, no anxiety, no negative thoughts whatsoever. How is it to be me with no worry, no anxiety, no insecurity? And you can take all of that back in 2 minutes' time. It's just a fantasy exercise. All your problems, everything will still be there. But just take a break from it for 2 minutes and ask yourself, how would it be to be me without a single trace of worry, anxiety or negativity? Okay. Feels good? Is it easy? Yeah? So? Next key for myself, I thought a lot about what name to give to it. So I put down to earth. And I know Baba says we should have the sky in heaven. But if you think about it, Brahma Baba was also very down to earth. So I put a nice picture of Brahma Baba here with a baby camel. And actually, next picture is my Laukik father. And he, in certain aspects, he reminds me of Brahma Baba because he had the same down-to-earth attitude to life. And my father, I'm a farmer's daughter, he's a farmer, and he's also a forester. And he used to cut the wood in pieces, right? And he used to count them. So he had counted all these trees, pieces of tree. He created his own entertainment very much. And on the countryside where I'm from, all the farmers, they have this humor in life. So sometimes when they meet, they used to give numbers to their jokes. So they used to say, "Do you remember joke 5? And then everyone laughed. And then one said, "Do you remember joke 10? "No, I haven't heard that one before, but it's very funny." You know, they was just so happy. And you know, Brahma Baba was also like that, wasn't he? We remember the daddy sharing all the jokes Brahma Baba used to make for the daddies and tease them. And humor is a survival key. But what is the basic energy in this down-to-earth, in humor? And I was thinking it's a combination of wisdom and humility. And wisdom also comes from an attitude of learning something new every day, in every moment. In every encounter with another person, you can learn something. But if I listen with old ears, I've heard this before. It's like with the morally, isn't it? Sometimes our ears are a bit old and tired and I think I've heard this before. But some days I hear something new every day. It's an attitude. It's not what's there, it's my attitude. And learning something new and actually listening goes together with humility. I have to be very humble to listen properly. And why is that? Because if I actually do listen properly, I might find out that I was wrong. I might have this opinion based on that fact, and if I really listen, I might find out that my information was not complete. So I took a decision on incomplete information. So if I really listen, I might get the whole picture and I might take a different decision. But to admit that I was wrong, I need to be humble. So just to listen to somebody without an agenda in my head or without having opinions about the other person and what they're saying, but pure listening, it's a fantastic ability. And that will bring newness in many certain ways, and you will have entertainment in your life all the time. That's where the humor comes from. It's quite funny actually, isn't it? I used to have big problems with one sister in Copenhagen for many years. But then, you know, I learned how to look at this person with a different viewpoint and have a different angle on her. And then she was actually quite entertaining and funny. So I trained myself to stay in this viewpoint. And then we had a good time, we could laugh a lot. But if I became serious, that is complete disaster. Mm. And I think Brahma Baba had this ability also. And I put practical and natural here, and simple and uncomplicated. And I just want to share one story. You might remember we used to do a course called Self-Managing Leadership Course. And sometimes we had retreats with people from the business field about self-management. And we combined meditation and spirituality with some professional coaching methods. And I remember here we were actually in Madhuban, and it was a small gathering of top leaders in business. And one asked Adiyanki and said, "So I have so much to do, and sometimes it's hard for me to prioritize. Which I have 5-6 tasks to do, and I just don't know where to start. Can you give me some hint on how to prioritize?" And to understand what, if you have many things to do, which one is more important? And Daddy looked at him for a long time, gave a very loving drishti, and then she said, "Well, you just start with one thing and do that with love, and when you're done, you do the next thing." And I thought it was a hilarious answer. Just do one thing, and when you're done that, you do the next. What's the problem? And you do that one thing with love and not with stress. But do it with love and peace, and when you're done, you do the next. And this person, he got really happy for this answer because this, that is power in the reply also. And it's like that from the whole retreat and all the wise things this, that was said that retreat. This is the only thing I remember. So that comes with being practical and down to earth. You do one thing with love, and then when you've done that, you do the next thing. Mm. And this is what Baba also says sometimes, do what's in front of you with love and don't think too much. But I wanted us to stop for a minute and just think a little bit. I'll ask you to close your eyes, relax, and if you have learned something new today. I'm yet not thinking of this talk or anything, but in the morning, in the early, in the conversation, what new things have I learned about myself or life today? Okay, so let's go to the last point. And it's about sharing and caring, share and care. It's actually, you can say in Baba's language, it would be service. But service, I think, to do something for someone else in an unselfish way. We can never be 100% unselfish, Baba says, but as good as it gets. That's a big key for happiness. And I remember our late brother Anthony once said that the only source for happiness for an angel is to be an instrument for God. And I think we all know that feeling of happiness when you feel that you were in the right place at the right time and said the right thing, but it wasn't really you. It's a kind of divine feeling that Baba has been using you as an instrument in small things. It's a big source of happiness in the inside. But I wanted to give the example of the trees today. So to make a difference every day by generosity, by gratitude. And we can learn from the trees. We can learn about the power of good wishes from the trees. Do you know that there is the trees, they live in communities. It's about 40 to 50 trees, 40 to 100 trees in one community. And they have their own communication network under the soil. And it's not via the roots, but there is small threads of fungus, mycelia it's called. So they are, and the fungus, these small threads of fungus can grow very fast underneath. So this tree of community, they have an invisible communication with each other. And what happens if one tree is not strong, they can send extra vitamins to that one tree. Yes. And it, sometimes if there is an attack of some bug or some insect, they can have an internal warning system. And they can emit some chemicals which makes them not tasty for the bugs. I see one sister here from Africa, from Zimbabwe, and I learned that there is an antelope that's called ukapi, and they live on a special leaf, some kind of acacia tree leaf. And these leaves are very tasty. But what happens if that one ukapi eats the antelope, eats too much, because they're so tasty? It is a danger for their own health, but it's also a danger for the tree. So if they eat too much, the acacia tree will emit some chemicals which makes the leaves not tasty. So the okapi stop eating. It's amazing, isn't it? And this community of trees, they have a mother tree who is in charge. And they can also regulate the microclimate. If it's too hot or too cold, they can regulate the climate within this community of trees. And it's just amazing. But why I take it up is that this is Baba's picture of the tree. We also have an invisible network with each other. We are connected to so many people. And if you think of your own country and your own Lokic family and maybe your own Lokic work and where you live and the neighbors and where you go shopping and maybe public transport, you haven't, they say that if you're not a BK and have a global family, you are connected on a vibrational level between 100 and 200 people. And that means that those people are affected by your moods and by your vibrations. So if you have a bad day, they have a higher tendency to also have a bad day. We are not connected with fungus. We are connected with vibrations, with thoughts, with feelings. But that's also invisible. Like for the trees, it's underground. For us, it's not visible, it's vibrations. But we do affect each other in a major way. And I think today we talk a lot about the power of good wishes and how important this is for each other's progress. And we need that to progress. So I just would like to ask everyone to give a little time for good wishes. to your own network every day. Especially in Madhuban, it's very powerful. Take a few minutes out of your meditation and just send it back home like that. And charge your network. And what do we charge it with? I mean, we charge it with love, with peace, appreciation, with power, empowerment, with positivity. You know, the list is endless. With gratitude. And that's an ongoing every day. So these were my five keys. And just before I'll ask you to think about your five keys, I just want to share some slogans I'm working on at the moment. And one slogan is, we need to rewrite the collective story of what a good life is. And I think we as a BK family have done that to a certain extent. Because if you tell the Lokik people about your life, they think, what is this, so boring, and you know. But we know internally that what kind of beautiful life it is. It's a collective story we have. And the story you tell is the basis for your life. So the way I talk to myself in my head, that's how my life is going to be. And it just takes one negative thought that maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe I'm not strong enough, or I can't cope. And the outlook is totally different. You know, it looks dark, it looks gloomy. And if you just change this one thought and think, no, I can do it with Baba's help, I'm strong enough with Baba's help, then the future looks totally different. It just takes one thought to rewrite the story of your life. So yeah, I always have to talk to myself in the way I want it to be. Not in the way I don't want it to be. And we're all creators, and Baba talks about it in the Murli the other day. And the other day was a powerful Murli point. I think everything what's left when knowledge is imbibed is the creator and the creation. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? But the smallest piece of creation is one thought. So every time you think, you create. So we have about 100,000 thoughts per day. So have 100,000 times per day, I create something. It's amazing power. So I create my own world by my thinking and my lifestyle. So together we create our world by contributing to the collective thinking and lifestyle. So that's my little thank you to you. And here you have a carrot shaped Baba. Can you see it? Most fruit, they have a little shaped Baba in the middle. If you cut a strawberry or a kiwi or whatever, here is a carrot. So, you know, the vegetables they carry. Oh, see, this is a good time to have traffic control. During traffic control, I would like you to think, what are my own five keys for long-lasting happiness? Okay?
पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है। सतयुग में तुमको आना है, शिव पिता को अब याद करो, मुक्ति धाम तुम्हें जाना है। अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है,
धाम में तुम्हें गाना है।
So thank you. Maybe you take out your notepad and write down a few thoughts. And I give you a few moments to do this, and then I will ask you to share to the person next to you. So think for a few moments, what are my 5 keys for long-lasting happiness, apart from daily BK routine? And those who are online, you can do the same. Okay, so I'd like you to turn to the person left or right and just have a little chit-chat for 5-7 minutes about what are your 5 keys for happiness. And if you can't formulate it clearly just now, maybe some thoughts on the presentation here or something new you learned, or have a little chit-chat, 2 to 3 people. Turn left or right and find someone who speaks your language. Self-organizing. And those who are online, either you think for yourself or maybe you find somebody in your house you can share with.